Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Reach up to the sky. Lord, we ask that you would speak to us through your word. We thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It illuminates the way, Lord, as we try our best to navigate through a dark, dying, decaying, fallen world. We need your word today more than ever. It tells us what to do, what to say, where to go, how to think, how to live, how to forgive, how to love. We need your word today more than ever. Bless your word, Lord. We open our hearts and minds to receive your word. Holy Spirit, continue to rule and reign throughout this service. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for the worship, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us during worship, letting us know it's going to be okay, that you got it covered. We bless you for that, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would, open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 16. I want to say thank God for our women's ministry. The Mother's Day luncheon was outstanding yesterday. I want to thank God for the men. We had our men's fellowship yesterday as well. Thank you for the men who were able to come out, the men who were at work, couldn't make it. We were praying for you. So you were there because we were praying for you, and we know God was touching your life where you were. Amen. So as we go over, let me read Genesis. I say Genesis 16. I'll read verses 1 and 2. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say hold up. Where is my daughter, JL, in here? Oh, she told me not to use the joke again. Dad, you say the same old jokes that if the pastor's having trouble finding Genesis, then you know you're in the wrong church. So, you know, I mean, so I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say it today, all right? I need new material, so I'm not going to say that one today, JL. Okay? Did I say Genesis 16? Amen. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. It sounds familiar because if you were here yesterday with the women's luncheon, Sister LaRose was in my notes. Sarai said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me, underline restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, which means to go have sex with my maid, that it may be that I may obtain children by her. I don't know how she's going to do that. But anyway, and then Abraham, stupid, listened to the voice of Sarai. He didn't know a setup when he heard it. But what we see here, I mean, it is a lot of dynamics going on. First off, make a note that desperation normally leads to dysfunction. Anytime you get desperate for anything, you're headed towards dysfunction. Whether that's a marriage, whether that's your singleness, whether that's a business, whether that's school, whether that is anything. We see that, and we know those of us that have kids. I'm not going to ask how many have kids, how many seen a kid. I'm not going to ask that, because she told me about that one, too. I'm not going to ask. I told her I was going to switch it up and say, how many mothers have kids? How could you be a mother and not have a kid? So I'm not going to do that. Okay, so. But we know that raising children is one of the most difficult things you could ever do. But here's the situation, family. So make a note. As we talk about family, we talk about mothers. So let me liberate the mothers right now, because everybody wants a perfect family, which doesn't exist. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
As we look at our family, there's some sort of dysfunction in every family. Why? Because the model, the prototype, once Adam and Eve committed sin, they made the whole model defective. So don't let Satan tell you that something's wrong with you because your family is dysfunctional, because everybody's family is dysfunctional. And he's the one that created the dysfunction in the family when he tempted Adam and Eve to sin. And now we have dysfunctional families. He's going to try and tell you something's wrong with your family, but he's the one that created the dysfunction in the family. So he plays the mind games. You go back to Adam and Eve after they committed sin. Then next thing you know, Cain killed Abel. That's huge dysfunction in a family. So mothers, fathers, take the pressure off yourself. Don't try and have a perfect family. Try and have a godly family. I'm not looking for perfection. I'm just looking for godliness in the family. It's all we can do. The model's defective. Nobody's born with the silver spoon or the perfect life or the perfect upbringing, but if you think you were, and maybe you were, some kind of way you were, but there's hope for the rest of us, because we see right here that Sarai and Abram, their name hasn't been changed yet. So there's a change coming. Somebody say amen, because there is a change coming. So regardless of how you started, God can change and God will change things. So I told you on the line, restrain. She's saying, God is holding me back. Family, God is never holding us back. What God is doing is preventing us from self-destructing. She should have been thanking God that he had closed the door or closed the womb, because she wasn't ready to have a kid yet. Because God can see, make a note, God can see things that we can't see. So if God is closing the door, it's a reason why. God is not holding you back. So don't get desperate while you're waiting. It's okay to wait, whatever it is. It's not God holding you back. She's saying, God's holding me back. So now I have to take charge. Ladies and gentlemen, that is a dangerous situation to be in. What we have to do is submit and wait on God. Let me try that again. What we have to do is submit to the will of God and wait on God. Mm-hmm. And then it's dangerous, and we run into this a lot because it's just the spiritual warfare that we're in. But she's blaming it on God. God, you're the reason why we don't have any kids. I'm tired of waiting, God. You're taking too long. Abram, let's do our own thing. So I wrote a little question. You know how you have a test at school, you have to fill in the blank, and you fill it in. I wouldn't have to if God wasn't taking so long. You fill in the blank. What do you have to do because God is taking too long? If God would have showed up on time, I wouldn't have to do what I'm doing right now. Really? Okay. Desperation leads to dysfunction. So I got to go out and do whatever it is. I'm not going to wait on God. I'm going to just find anybody. But just take anything. I'm going to go anywhere. God, I've been waiting on you for a whole 2 weeks. I got to do something now. I'm getting desperate. And men, Abram listened to his wife, which is men. Amen. Any married men in here? Amen. Which is normally a good thing to listen to your wife. It is, ladies, mothers, we love you. Yes, we listen to you. Yes, we do. It's normally a good thing. But when it goes against the word of God, man, we got to say, honey, let's really think about this. Let's go to the word. Ladies, let's go to the word. We were talking in our men's fellowship yesterday how important it is to have a godly wife, that if something comes up, because something will come up, and when it comes up, honey, let's go to the word and see what the word of God says. And if you're dating and she says, man, I ain't got time for that, we need to do something, then you know you had a problem coming on. If you're going to want to go to the Word and she say, I ain't got time for that, I need you to do something, you are in trouble. And ladies, if you're dating and you ask your husband, let's see if the Word can sell, he say, well, no, I don't need that, I'm the man of the house, then you know it's not a guy you need to be hanging out with. And if you're already married to that guy, then you just be praying for him. If you're already married to that lady, then you be praying. Those of us, or those of you who aren't, then you'd watch out for those red flags. And here's Abraham. Abram, I don't know how silly you could be. And for most men, this is what she's saying. Hey, let's have an open marriage. You know, I know it's the custom. He's just, no, I ain't doing that. I'm going to wait on God. It might sound like a good idea at the time, man, but don't let the devil make a fool of you. Proverbs 20:17, make a note of it, said, bread of deceit is sweet to a man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. Get the visual on that. It always starts off good. Oh, she listens to me. It's because she ain't married to you. That's why she listens to you. He treats me like I deserve to be treated. Yeah, because he's trying to get something from you. We talk for hours and just look into each other's eyes. Yeah, he's playing you. Always starts off. It's always nice at the beginning. Why? You ain't got no bills. You ain't got no kids together. You ain't got no responsibility, no commitment, no covenant. It always starts off good. And don't let the devil make a fool of us, family. So she, verse 3. And Sarah and Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. Abraham, verse 4, he slept with her. And she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Verse 5, and Sarah said unto Abram, look what you've done to me. She has buyer's remorse right away. Yeah, you ever bought something and then you, oh, man, why did I buy that? You get it home like, man, I just spent my money on it. Here she is. She's going to let some woman sleep with her wife. Actually, marry her husband. And then she's going, why did I do that? And then she's going to blame it on him. Why did you do that? We have this thing in our house with Tracy and JL all the time. Everything's their fault. All I say is, look, I could be, they don't even have to be home. I say, look what you made me do. Hey, no, I don't take responsibility for nothing. I just say, look what you made me do. Could be on the freeway. I could have an accident. Say, what happened? Look what you made me do. I wasn't even in the car. I wasn't even around. You weren't even talking. No, but you made me do it. I don't take responsibility for nothing. So we have a lot of fun with that. So, you know, it's always light around the house because whatever happened, it ain't my fault. You made me do it. Yeah, most of the time, yes, JL. Even bring JL into it. JL, look what you made me do. I ain't taking responsibility. And this is the same thing that Sarai wants to do. She's going to tell Abram, look what you made me do. But remember, it was her idea. And so then he says, verse 5, Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be on you. You made me do it. I have given my maid into your bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes, and the Lord judged between me and you. Abram, just like a typical man in verse 6, he said, that's between you and your maid. Do what you want to do. Right, ladies? He ain't taking responsibility. Hey, whatever you want to do, you do it. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Don't bring me and God into it. You handle it. Just like a typical man. I ain't taking responsibility either. That's y'all stuff. But Abram said, verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, your maid is in your hand to do as her as it pleases you. And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her face. She left. So God is asking somebody this morning, where are you running to? That's what the angel is going to ask her too. And so God is saying, we got to take responsibility. We got to stop running. This time, submit to God, wait on God, and stop running. Let God work out the details this time. So then we have the angel that comes on the scene. The angel of the Lord comes on the scene. Found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Somebody say, thank God for water in the wilderness. In your wilderness, there is water. In the wilderness, there is water. And we know we have the living water, which is Jesus Christ. God met her in the wilderness. If you don't know what the wilderness is, you make sure you make a note of it. Wilderness is a place of anger, anxiety, anxiousness, place where you're afraid, you're barren, you're broken, you're confused, you're desperate, you're empty, you're exhausted, you're fearful, you feel like a failure. It's grief in the wilderness, hopelessness, and isolation. And in the midst of the wilderness, God shows up and gives you water and refreshes you in the wilderness. So here we are in verse 7. The angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness. Somebody say amen. By the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said unto Hagar, Sarah's maid. He knew who she was. Make a note, God knows who you are and God knows where you are. I don't care how deep that wilderness and how dense and how complex and confused you are, God knows where you are and God knows who you are and God knows what you've done. And God asked the two questions he's asking somebody this morning. Where'd you come from and where are you going? How did you get in this situation and where are you going? This God wants to know. Are you going to come clean? Because we know how we got in the situation, but God wants to know, where are you going from here? What are you going to do now? Oh, I love this. Make a note in verse 8. God speaks in the wilderness. You got to get quiet. You got to want to listen and hear what God has to say. What are you doing here and where are you going? She didn't really answer the question. She said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. Ain't even answered the question. Okay. Verse 9, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hands. Let me tell you what to do now. Submit yourself unto God. Go back. Let me work out the details. This is what God says, paraphrasing verse 10. If you submit to the will of God, I will bless your mess. That's hope. For all us that have dysfunction somewhere in our life, God said, if you submit to my will, I will bless your mess. You know, it's not where we start. It's about where we're at and if we're going to submit. If you submit yourself to the will of God, I will bless your mess. This is the word of God to someone today. Because, you know, they have the frame, well, God don't bless no mess, but that's not accurate. That's not biblical, as we see right here. This is a broken family. This is a blended family. This is a dysfunctional family. And God said, if you submit to me, I'll bless it. Man, I'll jump on, run out that door, man. That's such a good word. That's such a good word. The enemy tries to have us all depressed and despondent over our kids and what they're doing and what they're not doing. God said, don't get the focus off your kids. How about if you submit and you surrender, I'll bless your mess. That's and you need to go back. You need to stop running is what he said. You need to stop running and you need to surrender and submit and let me work out the details. Verse 9, an angel of the Lord said unto her, return to your mistress, submit yourself under her hands. Verse 10, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply your seed exceedingly that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, you have a child, you are pregnant, and you're going to bear a son, and you should call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard your afflictions. In the midst of the wilderness, in the midst of the dysfunction, in the midst of the running, God said, I've heard you. I've seen your affliction, and I've heard you. Go and surrender and submit, and I'm going to bless you. That's real maturity right there. See, and we've been talking all year. Do we really believe what we read? I don't know, because if I do, then my life is going to reflect the difference. If I believe that God can bless my mess, if I believe that if I submit myself unto God, that he'll work out the details, then I'm going to live differently. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to act differently. But if I don't believe that, then I'm going to be trying to get somebody to sleep with somebody so I can get something that I need that I think is going to make me happy. I had in my notes too, man, I mean, how ridiculous is that? What if the shoe would have been flipped? Would you tell your wife to go sleep with some dude so she can have a baby that'd be yours? Yeah, that's comical. I know it is. That is comical. On In Living Color, what do you say? I don't think so. Homie, don't play that. Homie D. Clown, we don't play that. But God is saying, even in the midst of all that, I want to bless that. Because the promise. What was it, Sister LaRose? The promise depends on the character of the one making the promise. And this is what God is saying. God's saying, you can trust me, but I don't know if I believe that. This is where I struggle. You just have to be honest where you are. If I really believe this, then I'm going to live differently. I know the word. I study the word. Try my best to live the word. But when it comes to something like this, how do you not take control, jump in, mess it up, and then start praying and start blaming God for the mess that we created? Verse 12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Verse 13, and she called the name of the Lord that spoke unto her, thou God seest me. For she said, have I also looked after him that seeth me? So she saw the back of God, God who sees, and I've seen the back of God. So she, in the midst of the wilderness, she understand that God hears and God sees. Somebody make a note of that. If you don't believe nothing else, if you don't get nothing else, when you're going through, but even when you're at the top, you better understand that God sees and God hears. Stay close to God. And I love verse 14. Wherefore, the well is called Berla Haroi. Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And that means well of the one who lives and sees me. Where she was at in the wilderness, where there's water and springs and in the wilderness. God lives. She understands that God lives and God sees. And you, Sister Kathy, read in a bulletin about the trip to Israel and Egypt. And one of the most amazing things when I was there in 2008, when you're going through Egypt and you're in the midst of that desert, you're going through those deserts and all of a sudden you see an oasis right there. You see trees and you'll see water. And I imagine she was at one of those places. It's actually there. It's one of the most amazing things you will ever see in the middle of the desert, an oasis. Springs, and we got living water through Christ that's always with us. Verse 16, and Hagar bare Abram a son, and Abram called his name Ishmael, which Hagar bare name which Hagar bare Ishmael. She went back. She was obedient. Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. All right, so let me close up with this. Look at Genesis 17 and 15. Now their names have been changed. So again, it's not where you start. It's not how you start. It's if you're going to submit and surrender so God can take you where he wants you to go. They didn't start well. And even after this, it still didn't. It was still some ups and downs and still some struggles. But there was a change that had taken place. God had changed Abram's name to Abraham and Sarai's name to Sarah. Now their name has been changed. Just like God changed our name from sinner to saint, from dark to light, from death to life, from lost to found, from reproach to rescued, from severed to saved. Thank God for changing our name too. God said unto Abraham, verse 15, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her. So some ladies, make a note. Even what she did, giving her husband to her slave maiden, God said, I still want to bless her after that. So stop beating yourself up, mothers. Please, mothers, don't go out of here beating yourself up over your kids. By the way, kids have free will, and there's just no way around that. What was it? Adam and Eve, God gave them everything. His kids gave them everything, and they still said, I want to do my own thing. You can give your kid everything if you want to, and then beat yourself up for it. It's not even worth it. Because we all were kids, and we know that when we left and we went to school, or we left and we went to park, or to the park and went to hang out with the homies, or whatever we did, we loved our parents, but we did what we wanted to do. Those of us that went off to college, went off to college. Mom, we love you. Yes, we're going to be good. And then we closed that door and we did what we wanted to do. And you beating yourself up as if you could actually change someone. You can't. God makes the changes. Parents, get liberated. Don't let the enemy bind you anymore with your failure. If you would have did this, if you would have stayed married, if you wouldn't have got divorced, if you would have got married, if you just tell him to stop. And read verse 15. And God said to Abram, verse 16, and I will bless her. Despite all that she's done, I will bless her and still give her a son at 90. Oh, the lady said, oh, you got to be. Yeah, 90. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her, shall come out of her. Somebody say amen. Amen. God has so much planned for you. Don't let the enemy beat you up any longer. You got to believe what the word of God is saying this morning. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed. And he didn't laugh like, you know, a scoffing laugh. He just laughed. You know how something happens and God just comes through and you just go, oh, God, man, you too much. God, you showing out today. That's the type of laugh he did. God, you showing out today. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto that is 100? Man, you going to show out like that, Lord? You going to get me? You going to promote me on this job where they was trying to fire me last year, God? You getting ready to show out like that? God, you getting ready to give me my own business when they said I wouldn't even graduate from high school? God, are you getting ready to show out like that, Lord? Verse 18, Abraham said unto God, oh, that Ishmael might live before thee. But God, remember my other son. God, remember my son. Don't forget my son. And look, God kind of ignores him. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his seed after him. Oh, by the way, I heard what you said, okay? And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him. Somebody say amen. Even, as crazy as it started off, as bizarre as it was, as desperate and dysfunctional as it was, God said, I still want to bless that. Don't sell God short. God is not like us. Don't mistake God for us. We cut him off. We would have cut him off. Have nothing to do. God said, I want to bless him. Incorporate this into your prayer and your fasting time in the morning. God, that my kid might live before you. I'm praying for him now. That my son, that my daughter might live before you. Let me finish up. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee. Behold, I've blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. Somebody say amen. 12 princes shall he beget, and I will make him a great nation. But my covenant, I'm going to bless him, but my covenant will be established with Isaac. And Sarah shall bear unto thee at this set time, underline set time. So set time. Wait for God's set time. God has a set time for you and I. To walk into all that he's called for us. Pray, God, show me the set time. Don't let me get desperate in waiting. Show me the set time that I'm supposed to step into all that you have for me. It's a set time. It's the right time. God has a right time for all of us. Yes, God can bless a mess, but let's try and prevent the mess by waiting on the set time. And then look, verse 22, and then God stopped talking. I'm done with that. God said, I'm done. That's all I got to say about that. Either you believe it or you don't. I'm done talking about it. Either you believe the word of God that I'm going to do all that I said I'm going to do, or you go out and get involved in some desperate dysfunction again. I'm done talking about it, though. We had the age-old argument yesterday, our discussion in the men's fellowship. If God spoke to me, if God really spoke to me like that, I'd do everything he said. But Abraham would tell you, man, if I had the word where I could read it from start to finish and see how the story ends. Abraham said, we were creating the word as we were living. We didn't have it. You guys have the word. Man, if we had it all written out, I'd do everything God said. We had that discussion yesterday. We saying, I wish I'd be like Abraham, where God would talk to me. Abraham said, I wish I could be like you guys, where I could just read it and do it. I would never fail. God says, I'm done talking about it. And that's where we're going to stop today. Let us bow our heads just quickly. We'll get on out of here, but oh, Lord, thank you for the challenge. God, if you would just speak to me. God said, I left my word to speak to you. I'm speaking to you. You won't even talk to me. You don't have time for me. I'm trying to tell you everything. I'm trying to confirm everything in your life, but you won't give me the time of day. You want to go get desperate and get involved in some dysfunction and then blame it on me. Lord, help us. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, of being desperate and dysfunction and depressed and disobedient and defiant. In the name of Jesus, we ask you, forgive us, Lord. Help us to submit and surrender to your will and let you work out the details. God, help us to really believe what your word says. We need your help today, Lord, more than ever. It's written. We have the written word. God, you speak to us through the word. And it comes down just like it did to Abraham and Sarah. Do they really believe what God is saying? And here we are today, 2017. God is speaking through his word. Submit, surrender, be patient, wait for my set time. And if you've already operated in dysfunction, I will bless your mess. Come back to me, submit and surrender, and let me work out the details. Either way, do we believe it? Seal your words in our heart, Lord. Bring them to our remembrance this week. and remind us, submit, surrender, and trust in you with all our heart, not to lean onto our own understanding, acknowledge you in all our ways that you might direct our paths. We love you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, with this being Mother's Day, I'm going to ask all the mothers to come up front. All the mothers, we want to do something quickly.